Today on Real Life Radio.
God has got a specific plan. You were designed a certain way. The church is designed a certain way. And by the way, the Bible teaches clearly that every local church is designed to serve a certain function in the entire whole of the body of Christ.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Did you know that Christian battles are sometimes lost simply because we fail to get involved? It's why our current featured resource can have such a powerful impact. It's called Correct, Not Politically Correct, written by award-winning author Frank Turek. Dr. Frank tackles the sensitive topics of same-sex marriage and transgenderism. Correct, Not Politically Correct is available at our website for a gift of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life. You'll find that at jackhibbs.com. jackhibbs.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called 1 Corinthians with a message titled, A Working Church is a Living Church. You know, 1 Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul to the Church of God in Corinth, and he shares with us that we, as Christ followers, are the church. So what kind of church would it be if everyone was just like us? You see, it's a soul-searching question and leads us to further ask ourselves, how has believing in Jesus caused my life to matter? Today, Pastor Jack teaches us that for anything to exist and be meaningful in life, there must be a concept, purpose, and design, and the same is true with God's church. Now, with his message called A Working Church is a Living Church, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
For anything to exist and to be useful in life, it's got to have a purpose. Everything that you can find in the world has been created or engineered with a purpose in mind. The church is no exception. God has engineered the church. He's created and designed it for a purpose. Here's the amazing thing. As you've been hearing every week, the church is not a building. It is you. You are the church, and you are to have a function, a purpose within the body of Christ. That's what makes a church a working church and a living church. You know, evolutionists will say that if you give them just enough matter, if you give them enough energy, if you give enough time, you will eventually have life. That is the basic fundamental doctrine of the evolutionary theory. Matter plus energy plus time equals life. Did you know that's an absolutely flawed formula? It's not even much repeated anymore because it is so flawed logically and scientifically. Not to mention that it's intellectually dishonest. You can have all the matter in the universe, you can have all the energy, and you can give that combo all the time, but you'll never get life out of it. You know why? It's missing one key thing, and you guys, actually, we all know this in life. It's missing concept, idea, thought, purpose. Thought, concept, purpose has to be infused from the outside. It is the engineering side of things that brings meaning to matter, to energy, to time. It's we will invest the time, we will invest the energy, we will invest the matter because we've got an idea of when we produce it, it will do thus and so. And the church functions the exact same way. Your body functions the exact same way. The matter, the energy, time, God has engineered it perfectly down to nanoseconds as to how even you and I work and how the universe even operates. It's absolutely awesome. Think about that as we look to our message this morning because the Bible teaches us that without concept design, without purpose as a church, we are not going to be a working and living church. We'll be a dead church. We might have a building. We may have people attending, but we'll be an absolutely comatose church. So chapter 12, beginning at verse 14. It's a long read, but we'll make it. Beginning at verse 14, Paul says, now for in fact the body, he's talking about the human body, but at the same time, in an illustrative way, the church is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the smelling be? But now God has set the members, each one of them, that's us, but individuals, in the body just as he pleased. Notice it's past tense. And if they were all one member, were or would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, engineered the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism or division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. What a great statement. And God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, variety of tongues. Now listen, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Verse 31, but earnestly desire, by the way, this is a collective statement. This is not for an individual. This is for a church body. But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Wow. Number one, let's get started with this. First point, a working church is a living church. You and I, number one, share a God-designed feature. And we're only going to mention three of them right now. But you and I share a God-designed feature. That is God who, like the universe, like nature, like your human body, like things that we see, have an absolute created purpose. They are to be used. And God has created you and I, listen, with a designed purpose. First one is this, serving others. Will you write it down? It's verses 14 to 15. Serving others. Design feature number one, as Christians, serving one another. He says, for in fact, the body is not one member, but that is body parts. Now think of the church and think of your own body right now. But many, you were made up of many different amazing parts. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? What an amazing thing. First of all, it's hilarious because I like to take the Bible literal, as you should in every reading, unless it tells you something otherwise. The Bible will always warn you when you're not to take this literally. But I suffer from a very severe case of Warner Brothers Looney Tune vision. Somebody can be talking to me about the most serious issue, and I'll be going like this, and I will most often be listening to what they're saying, and I'll see the little bobble cloud form over their head, and their thoughts are being formed up there, and they'll say something like, I felt like a donkey, and I see this tail wagging, and the ears come. I'm sick that way. Sick, I tell you. But here he says, and I love, listen, Paul thinks the same way maybe, huh? He says, if the foot should say, feet don't have a mouth. You say, well, this is ridiculous. Exactly the point. It's all ridiculous to think that a body can function as one unit at large when its parts begin to break up and walk away from itself. Nobody has to deal with this, but the church does. So he says, for example, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? And this leads to a bunch of questions. What's wrong with the foot? Is it pouting? Is it angry? Does it have hurt feelings? Why is it so upset that it would say, somebody of a body would say, imagine my toe sticking its toe through my shoe and saying, I'm out of here, I'm done with this. I'm sick of being in here. I'm sick of living like this. I'm always in the dark. Let me out, I tell you, let me out. I want to be free. We don't take the toe when it complains and put it in a place where it ought not to be. You don't take your toe and put it on your thumb. God has got a specific plan. You were designed a certain way. The church is designed a certain way. And by the way, the Bible teaches clearly that every local church is designed to serve a certain function in the entire whole of the body of Christ. One church may be focused more on missions. One church may be focused more on teaching the word. One church may be focused more on worship. That doesn't mean any one of them are bad. They all give glory to God. And who are we to criticize? You see the toe? He's criticizing. He's criticizing creation. I don't like this. God doesn't know what he's doing. I want to be a hand. No, you're a foot. Listen, I recently heard an evangelist had delivered this tremendous message, and a medical doctor went up to him and said, I was very blessed by your message, and I'm just wondering if you appreciate just how you do what you do as an evangelist. And he said, I'm not sure what you mean. He said, how is it that you were able to deliver the word of God to these people like this today? And he said, I suppose it's with my tongue. And the doctor said, wrong. He said, did you know that if you would have both your toes cut off your foot, your big toe cut off, two of them cut off, that you could never have preached the message today? He said, I'm not following you. That doctor said that without your two big toes, now I don't know if this is true, I'm only telling you what I heard. That if you're missing your two big toes, you can't come up and preach the message, you can't physically take care of somebody, you can't move all that well because it causes you to have the ability to walk, stand, balance, and move and leverage your body. Because of a toe, I wouldn't be able to make it up here. Because of a toe, you may not be able to do something. Have you ever stubbed your toe? Isn't it amazing when your body is unified and getting along and everything's in harmony that you'll stub your toe or you'll cut your toe or whatever it is, and your whole body will stay up all night sympathizing with your toe as it's connected together, right? You don't appreciate your toe until you stub the thing. We are to love one another. Say, well, you know what? I feel like a toe here at this church. Well, according to the Bible, maybe you have been designed to be a toe. We need toes. We need feet. And as God establishes in every church, there's going to be people who are feet, there are people who are hands, and so on. We'll study this more later. God has a purpose. But when a foot goes and it goes to a location ought not to be, something's wrong. You guys, I don't know if you've done this before, but maybe only guys do this. But I'm old enough to remember when I got for Christmas Mr. Potato Head. You guys remember Mr. Potato Head? He's awesome. I don't know what it is, but when you get Mr. Potato Head, he comes all unplugged, you know. Do you remember? And you pull the part, you get all the bags open, you open them up, and this is how a guy puts together Mr. Potato Head. A guy sticks Mr. Potato's mouth in his ear, where his ear should go. And a guy takes Mr. Potato's eyeball and sticks it right in his mouth. We know better. We just think, this is kind of cool to do because we can. Right. I can just make this freakish looking potato look anything I want to do. But listen, as soon as you see it, it looks like the poor guy was in a tornado. His face is all rearranged, and it's not the way the designer made him. You and I have been created to have two eyes. We have two ears. We are to observe, we're to listen. Thank God we only have one mouth. Can you imagine two of these things going at the same time? He's established this for a purpose. And the church is to find its place. Every believer, now you guys know by now, it's not this building. It's you and I, a church. I'm gonna assume all of you would raise your hands if I were to ask you how many of you are believers. All your hands would go up. Then the next thing that we would say is, then what is your function regarding the purpose of the church, not the building, but the living, breathing organism called the church. There are no lone rangers in the body of Christ running independently. That's called cancer, by the way, when that happens. Jesus warns us about being sure that we stay in the right place as a corporate body of believers in love with God. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, Jesus said to the church at Ephesus, there in Turkey today, "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand," that's your witness, your usefulness, "from its place, unless you repent." Jesus said it this way, John 13, 14, "If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." Is that amazing or what? God Almighty in human skin washed the apostles' feet.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
God Almighty in human skin washed the apostles' feet. Biblically, we were supposed to follow the same example. Now, granted, we wear shoes these days. Back in those days, people walked around with open-toed, open foot sandals, and people needed their foot washed to come into the building. I don't know what it would be today. I suppose we could think about it and find something, but I find it interesting because I don't know if you've ever had your feet washed. I had a man years ago freak me out. A man came into our office. He was going to church here. We're in the old building. He came in and he had an appointment. So, okay, he comes in. He had a backpack. That's okay. That was pre-9/11 days. I didn't think of anything. He walks in and he said, "The Lord's told me clearly to do something." And I said, "What is it?" And he said, "Well, frankly," he said, I've been saying things about you that were not true. I ask you to forgive me. And God's convicted me." And he opens up his backpack and he pulls out a bowl, a thing of water and a towel. He gets down and I go, "What are you doing?" Now watch this. Immediately. I go, "What are you doing?" He goes, "Lord told me to wash your feet." Okay. Jesus says, "Wash each other's feet." Now, I am thrown upon the horns of a dilemma. Number one, do I have holes in my socks? It's possible. I'm a guy. It's possible. Number two, did I clip my toenails? And you know what number three is, because you're thinking that was your first thought. Do my feet stink? I sit down. The guy takes my shoes off. He starts washing, and he's crying. He's asking me to forgive him. He's confessing his sin. I'm like, "Oh, my gosh, don't." I'm going. All of a sudden, though, listen to this. He was being liberated, and a smile was forming on his face, and I felt like crawling underneath the couch or the chair. Why? Because you know what? If you think washing someone else's feet is hard, you should try having your feet washed. We did that once at a marriage retreat. We did it once here in this church a long time ago in the old building. You know what? People laughed. "We're not going to do that, right?" Then it got really quiet. Then people started crying. Some people literally got out of the church and ran out of the building, never came back. That's a good thing for parking. We should do that next week, right? It's an amazing, what? It's a display of love. It is an announcement of love. It's an amazing thing. Jesus says, this is the example in serving one another. Secondly, it's this, it's caring for one another. Design feature number two is that we are to care as a church for one another. He says, and if the ear should say, again, ears don't have mouths, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? What if the ear decided that it was going to leave? I'm out of here. I'm not happy with the way things are going. I'm not happy with what I'm hearing. And the ear leaves. Imagine your ear jumping on the table and going down. What kind of a human would we look like? Stuff would be falling off. Things would be moving into positions it ought not to be. We would look just like Mr. Potato Head. Some churches are just like Mr. Potato Head. Some people's lives, some people's homes are just like Mr. Potato Head. And the ear says, you know what, that's it. And it's complaining and it's griping about its position or its place in the church. We need to wake up and realize that as a church, we have been put in a place to be used by God in a very specific area. My calling is to be a teacher, pastor, the word of God, teacher. I know this. This is what I do. It's not to showcase. Listen, right now we have lights. The stage is elevated. This comes from the book of Ezra, so we can see one another and interact with each other. It's not to showcase the gift of teaching. This shirt doesn't help that I'm... For 45 minutes, you and I are together, and the Holy Spirit is using the gift of teaching right now for you to be refueled, instructed, taught for the week, and you go out, and this is just, by the way, a little bit of accent to your daily Bible reading, and God will speak to you, and God will send every true believer out into the world to function in their specific place, both in the world and in the church. God has given you a gift or gifts to use, and you need to know what they are. You really need to know. By the way, in the course of these next several months, we are even going to have on a Sunday morning, we're going to wind up stopping a service, and we are going to be praying, laying hands on you. We're going to have prayer exactly as the Bible dictates it ought to be, and encourage you to find out what your gift is for the body of Christ. Do you know what I think? If we're serious about that, you know what's going to happen? We're going to have a little personal revival here in this church. People are going to start loving on each other, caring for one another. It's going to be absolutely amazing, which leads us to this. They will be loving on one another. Look at verse 17. Design feature number 3 is love. Loving on one another. Serving one another, caring for one another, loving one another. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing, or where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smell? This is amazing. Imagine, I heard of a youth pastor taking a football. He was teaching on this verse, and he took a football and he spray painted it white, and he painted a huge iris on it. And then he wrapped it in a baby blanket, and he walked into the youth group, and they go, "What do you got?" He goes, "Oh, you want to see my baby? Want to see my baby? I got a baby here." And they all leaned over, and he opened it up, and there's this gigantic eye looking at everybody. And they went, "That's gross. That's sick." And then he went on to teach about if everyone is just an eye, what would the church be like? Think about it. If everybody just thought, "I'm going to be an eye," everybody would be like this. And knowing the human heart, how would we be? What would we be looking for? Who messes up? Can you imagine everybody's an eye? You know what? When you get too many eyes together, things get really critical. Right? If you get too many ears together, there's not much grace. That's why God the Holy Spirit distributes into each and every church just the right amount of gifts as needed. Here's the beautiful thing about every church in the world, which comprises one church. Every church where there's born again believers, as the Bible here says, every local body of believers, God gives certain attributes of gifts so that that church can make, watch, an impact in the area that God has called it. And that's why this particular church makes an effect or makes a difference in the area that God has called it to do.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called "A Working Church is a Living Church." We're glad you're with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called 1 Corinthians, a series on the Corinthian church and the Apostle Paul's bold call for purity. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Hey friends, as you well know, we've been getting together from time to time to pray, and we've had a topic each time. And today, right now, in this season, it's being thankful. Listen, we have to nurture a thankful heart. We have to discipline ourselves to be thankful. It means that in the midst of everything that's going on around us, we put our eyes on what is good. Let's be honest, not everything's bad. Not everything's on fire. Not everything is collapsing. There are things around your life and mine that are good, and we need to thank God for that. So let's do that very thing right now. Father, we thank you for what is good, what is happening. We thank you, Lord, that you have promised us that the righteous shall never be seen begging bread. Well, Lord, we know that we're righteous because of Jesus. We're thankful for that.
We're thankful for the cross. We're thankful for the empty tomb, the resurrected Jesus. And Lord, we're thankful in the midst of all of this world's drama that you're the God that is stable, unchanging, immovable, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you, God, that we can tie our life and all that we represent, our emotions, our concerns, our anxieties, the issues of life, that we can come to you and give them to you. And we are so thankful for that. So Lord, please find our hearts from this moment forward, exercising the discipline and the practice of being thankful. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.